SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Individual Defensive Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm joined by Gary Davenport at IDP Sharks. On a weird Tuesday afternoon, Gary, where the Steelers played one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life, and they still ended up winning. I don't even know how to bring this up to you. I mean, look, your team did win the last time in the playoffs against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, so I'll remind you of that for happier days. But obviously, Nick Chubb goes down, and it was just an ugly game. But at least you were probably up until 8 in the morning writing about stuff. So how are you doing today? Are you hanging in there?
Working through the stages on the Chubb, because I had Chubb shares all over the place. Oof. I think there's one league where I have Ford, so at least in that one, I don't. And the more I look at that, the replay, the anger I get at Minkah Fitzpatrick. I don't think it was malicious or anything. I don't think it was intentional. But you can't dive at a guy's knees like that. And he's not the only one in the NFL that does it. I'm not trying to single Minkah Fitzpatrick out. Yeah. But you can't dive at a guy's knee with your helmet when his foot is planted in the ground and he's already being held up by it. That's how guys' knees get blown out. And the NFL needs to do something about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming tough. You know, I mean, you hit the guy high, you get fined, maybe suspended because of the head injury stuff. You hit a guy low. And if he's already engaged, you know, a lot of times you have those bad injuries. And, you know, I understand people thinking it's a dirty hit. But, I mean, Minkah went to the hospital after the game. He just wasn't the same after that hit. He came back and played. But on that chase down where Jerome Ford scored that long touchdown, he tried to chase down Jerome Ford. And you could see something was not right with him. Like, after the play, he got up, like, holding his chest. I think it was from that earlier play where he was also down. And, you know, Chubb was on pace to run for 400 yards in that game. They're just trying to find a way to stop the dude. So,
I can't imagine the Browns won't go get somebody. I mean, I know a lot of people are talking up Jerome Ford, but you can't, I'm not one of those guys that says, well, if you take away this one carry, then he had blah, blah, blah for how many. You can't take that long run away from him. But if you look at the rest of his season outside that one run, I think the Browns have to go get someone. I don't know who, but
yeah, I mean, Cam Akers is cheap, you know.
That
would
be
Fournette still out there.
Yeah, but do you really want? I mean, Leonard Fournette just looked done last year. He didn't look like he had anything left.
He still catch the ball,
essentially fall forward.
Catch the ball and fall forward, like you said. I mean, he's got a little bit of gas left in the tank, but nobody wants him. So there's not even
me. I'm calling Los Angeles and saying, hey, I'll give you a fifth for Akers.
Yeah. I mean, it might not even cost that much, to be honest with you. It might be a sixth or like a conditional pick swap or some nonsense. He needs to be out of there.
Right. Don't get me started on Akers either. All damn summer long, Sean McVay talking about what a big part of the Rams offense Cam Akers is going to be in la, 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 la. By week two, he's inactive, and they're like, nope, we're sending him out of town. I don't know what Cam Akers said to Sean McVay, but McVay didn't like it.
It's twice. The same stuff happened last year. And I don't know. It's maybe Sean McVay is just, you know, bipolar or something, but it seems like it's more of an Akers thing. You know, they don't have a lot of other players on the other side of the ball or at any other position having this inactive and then trade me or whatever stuff that Cam Akers is. But I don't know. Kyren looked good, so they don't need Cam Akers anymore. And somebody does. Cam Akers still a good player. So I'm with you. Yeah, I knew this show was going to be dark, Gary. It's a tough one, but let's talk about the positives. Let's talk about some of the big weeks that we had here and then some of the injuries, and then we'll get into position by position stuff. But Danielle Hunter on Thursday Night Football, 8 tackles, 3 sacks, Gary. He couldn't help but get 3 sacks because they were on the field for like 40 minutes of that game. So at least we got something out of that Thursday Night Football, where DeAndre Swift ran the ball 28 times after getting 1 carry the week before. Obviously, Gainwell went down. But what do you think about Danielle Hunter's big night on Thursday Night Football?
Hey, we've got some edge rushers who are off for some ripper starts. And, you know, I had Hunter, I want to say, like 6th or 7th among defensive linemen entering the season. So it's good to see. I mean, he looks healthy. It doesn't appear that not having Za'Darius Smith opposite him affected him in that game, at least. And not to go back to running backs, but DeAndre Swift's going to be another one. I mean, everyone is going to go crazy over DeAndre Swift this week. People are going to be trading for him. We're going to get to this weekend. Gainwell's going to be active again. Gainwell's going to out-touch him.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too.
See it coming.
Yeah, it seems like it's the most predictable thing in the world. I mean, Gainwell was their guy, but I don't know. I don't know if you could go back to Gainwell as much after Swift looks so good. I mean, he really did look good. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Just watch him.
Yeah, you're correct. Robert
DeAndre Swift will have like 6 carries this week, and Twitter will just freak out.
Yeah, Gainwell will have 12, and you know, for whatever reason, they'll get like other guys involved too. Boston Scott will get 2 touchdowns. Robert Spillane, 14 tackles and a sack. He had a huge game for the Raiders. I mean, I think Spillane is going to be so big for this team because they're always, the defense is always going to be on the field. The offense has got like nothing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
So, I don't know. What do you think about Robert Spillane here?
He's a 100% snap guy, and he's a guy I picked up relatively late in quite a few drafts. I mean, everyone was looking at Divine Diablo as the linebacker to roster in Vegas, and it appears that it was the other way around. Spillane's wearing the dots. Spillane's staying on the field 100% of the time. Last I looked, I think Diablo's snap percentage is hovering right around 80, and now, granted, I don't know that you can expect Spillane to put up those kind of numbers every week, but like you said, the Raiders are probably going to be a team where the defense is going to be on the field quite a bit. I mean, I know they were on the field all day against Buffalo, but...
I mean, it's going to be a tale of who wants to play worse on offense on Sunday Night Football, because it's the Steelers versus the Raiders. So we're going to have some ugly offense. That game might be 3-0. Who knows? It's just disgusting right now. Fred
How
Warner,
early... How early is too early to start flexing teams out of Sunday Night Football?
I mean, that game should not be on Sunday Night Football. This is a show off the Raiders stadium game is what it is. And I tell you what, if there's a team that loves to lose to the Raiders more, I don't know who it is. Maybe it's the Broncos or somebody, but the Steelers love to lose when they go on the road to play the Raiders. I mean, they lose in Oakland. They lost to your boy Terrell Pryor. Remember when Pryor was the quarterback and ran for the longest touchdown in quarterback history against Pittsburgh because Troy Polamalu missed the tackle as the free safety there. So, I mean, it was just Steelers love to lose to the Raiders. They lost to Mike Glennon. I mean, so I don't know that this game is going to be gross. Fred Warner, 11 tackles and a sack, just doing regular Fred Warner things, not a surprise. A little surprising to see. I mean, if there's something I didn't predict, and maybe all of us were just low on him, Matt Stafford has been unbelievable in making this whole Rams offense move. And Puka Nacua, obviously, Kyren Williams, like we know the story of the guys that you're picking up in fantasy. But I don't know, the Rams might not be as bad as we thought. Defensively, they're still not great. They're probably better than I gave them credit for coming into the season. But defensively, it looks real bad for the Rams. What do you think about Fred Warner? And then talk about the Rams defense, if you would, for a second.
Oh, well, like you said, Warner doing Warner things. I mean, I wouldn't expect that kind of production every week out of Fred Warner because that's just not a thing. NFL-wise, he's a top 5 off-ball linebacker, maybe even top 3. It just, a lot of times, the numbers don't really show the impact he makes in the NFL. That Rams defense, I mean, you look at the talent that they got rid of in the offseason. I mean, you trade Jalen Ramsey to the Dolphins. You cut Bobby Wagner loose. I mean, I'm not surprised that the defense isn't that great. I know Aaron Donald's probably looking around like, and Donald's numbers are down because opposing offenses, I mean, they can focus
three guys
all right, all their attention on Aaron Donald. So I agree.
Unless you're the Seahawks, then you just let him run up the middle and have your quarterback screaming, "Oh my God!" You know, that was so.
We slept on the Rams a little bit, although it's going to be interesting to see if this is sustainable. Right. I mean, while they have looked great against Seattle, were competitive against San Francisco, can they maintain this over the long haul? Because it's still, we have a tendency to put, and it's only natural because, you know, we waited all damn summer for football. We put too much stock in two games. You know, we could look back 6 weeks from now at some of the takes we're said making now and be like, what the hell was I thinking, believing that so-and-so would be good or bad 2 weeks into the season?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, the hindsight is always 20/20, all that stuff. So let's talk about Alex Highsmith's big night. I know you don't want to go back to this game, but huge pick, forced the fumble where TJ Watt picked it up and ran it into the end zone as well. How good is Alex Highsmith for fantasy and just in terms of edge rushers?
I think I had Highsmith like top 15. I mean, he's not TJ Watt, but I mean, we saw, I mean, not only did he have a breakout season last year, but he had a breakout season with TJ Watt on the sideline for a lot of that year. And I think that's what people kind of disregarded this year, because I saw a lot of people essentially kind of write what Highsmith did in 2022 off as, you know, kind of a fluke year. And I'm like, I don't know that it was, given that, you know, he didn't have Watt opposite him for most of it. So they've got a great set of edge rushers. And I mean, you don't see that many teams abuse Cleveland's offensive line like that. So,
yeah, DeJuan Jones did a pretty good job for his first NFL start. Yeah, sure, TJ Watt got a sack. He picked up the fumble, but that wasn't on, you know, so DeJuan Jones gave up one sack. Who cares? You know, it was really the other side that was getting worked over with Alex Smith over there. So I thought DeJuan Jones was very impressive. I wanted Pittsburgh to pick him up too, but stayed at home from Ohio State going to Cleveland and did a very good job on, you know, one of the best defensive players in the NFL. All right, let's go to the bad news here. Buda Baker was placed on IR. Shaq Thompson fractured his fibula, had surgery today. He's done. Micah Fitzpatrick just got home from the hospital with a chest injury. And Kareem Jackson, I mean, you want to talk about bad hits. That was a dirty hit.
Second week in a row, Kareem Jackson cheap shot at someone.
He should be suspended, to be honest with you. Like, I know they're not going to do it, but you shouldn't have to jump through hoops when a guy does something that obvious.
Well, it's the second week in a row he's put a guy in the concussion protocol, because that's who laid out Jacoby Myers in week one.
Yeah, he's quickly becoming a dirty player. You see that happen on, you know, back end of some guys' careers, where, like, I remember Mike Mitchell. Oh my God, there's no one I disliked as playing for the Steelers more than Mike Mitchell, because like the dude was good for 15 every other game because he was always cheap shotting guys, headhunting, going down low, all that stuff. I did not like watching that guy play. You know, at least James Harrison was just, you know, trying to put the hurt on everyone. I don't think he was out there to injure guys. I kind of think Mitchell might have been. So, you know, it's just one of those things. If you're going to become that guy, there's no place in the NFL. Go play somewhere else. I don't know. But he's got to clean that up. It is bad. But, I mean, who's taking over for Shaq Thompson in the middle of the Panthers defense there? Is it the kid Brandon Smith that drafted last year?
Last week, I believe it was Kamu Grugier-Hill. So I think we've got another Kamu Grugier-Hill sighting. And that's a guy who, I mean, as recently as I believe it was 2021, had 108 total tackles for the Houston Texans. So, I mean, he's shown some ability to be a productive guy when the snaps are. I mean, obviously, Frankie Louvu is still the guy that you want in Carolina, and he's off to a great
start. He won me money last night. Tackle total was 7.5, so he went way over that. I think he had 9 plus a sack. He's so good.
Yeah, he's off to a ripper start. But, yeah, I think Grugier Hill is going to be the guy probably. And it's I don't know that there's really that much difference between Grugier Hill and Shaq Thompson from an IDP perspective. Shaq's not a guy that puts up huge numbers anyway. So I mentioned Grugier Hill in the IDP waiver wire article this week at Fantasy Sharks. That would be the guy that I would be targeting. Although, I mean, you never know. If he goes out there and struggles for a game or two, you could see a switch made. I wouldn't say that he's locked into the role.
Yeah, I understand that. And I don't even know. Like, has Brandon Smith even seen the field this year? I'm not mixing him up, right? That's the kid that they drafted a couple years ago, right? Or am I getting that wrong? So let me, I want to check their depth chart now. This is great radio here. Let's see. Looks like he didn't even make the team. So it was Grugier Hill, Chandler Wooden, and Claudin Charalis. So
yeah, I think you can, Grugier Hill is probably pretty safe. So. Yeah, given that I have no idea who those other guys are.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who I was thinking of. So, oh, you know what? I was thinking of Barno. But he's more of an edge rusher than a linebacker. So,
hey, they had to stop the Dolphins with Van Ginkle. So you never know.
Yeah. Yeah. Van Ginkle was unbelievable. We'll get into him.
They need to leave him on the edge. I'm sorry.
No, I think so too. Rotate him.
Well, Anna, you look at their run defense against the Patriots as opposed to against the Chargers. You just, Van Ginkle's not an inside linebacker. He's not. Leave David Long on the damn field inside.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy. And use Van Ginkle as part of a rotation. If you got Van Ginkle, Bradley Chubb, and Jalen Phillips, then you can be rotating them guys all game long, keeping everybody all fresh and springtime clean and get after the quarterback. It's nice to see Bradley Chubb, have a Bradley Chubb sighting for the first time in a long time this past week.
By the way, Bradley Chubb looked great. And I know he was in your waiver wire article as well. They cut Brandon Smith before the season started. Late August. So I just didn't realize that.
Well, maybe he'll be coming back.
Could be. We will see. Buda Baker placed on the IR as well, which was kind of weird. It seemed like he was kind of ruled out late in this process of this week, and then they stuck him on the IR. So looks like Kayvon Wallace is up. I mean, he had 100% of the snaps in replacement of Buda Baker. So
not only did he have 100% of the snaps, 64, almost 65% of those snaps were in the box. So,
Yeah. I mean, Thompson had the big pick and everything, but yeah, I mean, that's your guy, Kayvon Wallace, you know, and this is another reason, like, don't draft defensive backs early. There's always good ones that come up. And when there's injuries, there's guys that, you know, you want the defensive backs that aren't very good that are making those tackles because they let up catches and maybe the linebackers are weak, which in Arizona, it seems like everything is weak.
Wallace ain't a bad player. I mean, there was
no, he's good
starting in Philadelphia, but they cut him right before the season and he didn't clear. I mean, he's a good enough player that he didn't clear waivers. Arizona claimed him off of waivers.
He's a journeyman, though, is pretty much what I mean. Like, he is usually going to be a backup. They cut him from Philly because they had so much there. And he went to Arizona because they had not so much there. You know what I mean? L.A. would have been a great landing spot for him as well. They need people. But, yeah, Wallace is going to be good. I mean, any defensive back that plays that much in the box and, you know, is 100% snap guy is just outstanding. Donovan Wilson, speaking of good safeties, is expected to play this week. He injured his calf in the preseason and he's been out since whatever that was, mid-August. So Donovan Wilson firing back up. How high does he go in your rankings on a week-to-week basis, Gary? Is he a top 10 guy still?
Not this week. I mean, I'm going to be cautious because they're probably going to ease him back in a little bit. But I would say once he's fully back up to speed, top 15 isn't a stretch. You know, I thought J-Ron Hurst would be more productive with Wilson out than he has been, but you know, I'm a little higher on Wilson. The thing with that Dallas defense right now is there's just not a ton of tackle opportunities because they're just not on the field. They're getting off the field. It's 1-2-3 punt, 1-2-3 punt. Because that defense is just, they're just terrorizing opposing guys. Oh my quarterback drops back, there's three Cowboys waiting on him.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You know, hard to fault Zach Wilson when he's not even getting one Mississippi. You know, he may not even be getting one Utah in there. I mean, it is.
And this week they play Arizona.
Oh, Lordy. Yeah, tough schedule to start for the Cowboys. No IR for Marcus Williams, which is good news. Geno Stone played excellent. I mean, ruined my Kyle Hamilton over tackles, over 5.5 tackles bet, which was one of my favorites of the week, too, because Geno Stone tackled everybody and everything. Had the pick as well. He just looked good. But no IR for Marcus Williams with the pec injury for now. So what do they do in that? They put him in the brace and let him go out and just see how long. It's like a pain tolerance thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't – given as well as Geno Stone, like you said, as well as he played, I don't know if you need to be in a huge hurry to get Marcus Williams back out there. So maybe give him a little time to heal. Apparently they just didn't figure it was going to take a month for him to get better. So it'd be nice to, if Kyle Hamilton – I thought this that Kyle Hamilton was going to build on the momentum that – he established toward the end of last year, and this was going to be the year that we were going to see Kyle Hamilton. But so far, I mean, he's reaching the point where I have a short leash with defensive backs, and Kyle, you're getting close.
Yeah,
close to the edge, Kyle.
I think we're going to get it. I think we need Baltimore's offense to be a little more on point here, obviously, with losing J.K. Dobbins, you know, more running backs being hurt. It hurts their offense as a whole, but I think they'll get back on track. Jamal Adams is returning to practice this week. I mean, do we even care anymore, Gary? Like, you know, the safeties look great in Seattle. What is Jamal Adams going to really add here? I don't know. I don't have any shares. I'm not messing with Jamal Adams. So your thoughts?
It'd be different if they didn't have Jordan Brooks and Brooks was still rehabbing that ACL tear. But when you've got Brooks and Wagner as your linebackers, and like you said, Julian Love and Quandre Diggs playing so well at safety, I don't necessarily know what I would guess they're just going to kind of ease Adams back in. I mean, maybe he eats into Love's snaps a little bit, which would be unfortunate because Love's been off to a great start. But, you know, I believe it when I see it with Jamal Adams. It's been a while since we saw him on the field, and to be honest, you know, as a safety, he's a lot better pass rusher than he is in coverage. So we'll see.
I mean, use him as a linebacker and let him blitz on third downs. That's what he was best at always anyway, was getting after the quarterback from that spot and blitzing, you know.
Right. I would guess they're going to try to figure out some way to get him on the field because they got to justify all that money they're paying him.
And the draft picks. Don't forget about the draft picks. So, yeah, just not a good trade for them. More injuries along the defensive line here. We had a bunch, so many injuries this week. Josh Allen with a shoulder, Jalen Phillips with a back, Lucas Van Ness with an elbow, Leonard Floyd with an ankle injury, Odafa Owe with an ankle injury, James Houston fractured his ankle, is going to miss a lot of time for Detroit, and Carlos Watkins with an arm. I don't think Allen or Phillips are supposed to be long-term, right?
Not to my knowledge. I thought Phillips was going to be a go Sunday night. He was a late scratch. So I'm hopeful that he'll be back next week.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Same thing with Josh Allen. Just pay attention to these guys as the week moves on. For the linebackers, not too many at the linebacker spot here. Quincy Williams with a knee injury. Landon Roberts with a stinger. Am I missing any other ones, Gary?
I can't think of any right off the top of my head because you already mentioned Shaq Thompson. That was the big one this week.
Yeah, that was the big one, and surgery for him, so he'll be done for the year. And then we go to the defensive backs, and there is a lot. Micah Hyde with a hamstring. T.J. Gardner-Johnson maybe tore his pec. We're still waiting on results from that. Greg Newsome left Monday Night Football with an elbow injury. Tavier Thomas broke his hand. Eddie Jackson left with a foot injury. A guy is so good but always hurt. Avante Maddox with a pec. Marcus Jones with a shoulder. Tony Adams with a hamstring. Michael Carter with an elbow. Nick Scott with a concussion. So did Eric Murray. Tariq Woolen with a chest injury. And Kirby Joseph with a hip injury. Lots and lots of injuries at the defensive back spot. Which one is the most concerning to you here?
I would like to hear some kind of news that Eddie Jackson avoided because a lot of his injury history is foot injuries. So I'm worried about him. And you just like rattled off most of the defensive backs on half my team. So, and with waivers coming up, you know, a lot of times I'll use that bench defensive back spot. It winds up getting used so that I can pick up a running back or a wide receiver or whatever. So I'm going to have to see. Like, I picked up Nick Scott all over the place heading into last week, and it looked like he was headed for, I think he had 9 total tackles in that game. He didn't have as good a game as Dax Hill did, but he had a decent, but now concussion protocol, so they're just kind of problems I need. But at least they're defensive back, so there's going to got to be something out there you can get. Just wait. If you're a person who has one of those guys rostered, wait until late in the week, you know, see if it, like Thursday, Friday, if they're getting some practice participation or they're cleared from the protocol. And if not, hit the waiver wire. There's going to be someone available. The problem is, who are you going to have to cut to pick them up?
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go. Let's take a break, and we're going to go break down week 2 position by position, tell you who played well, who didn't play well, who maybe you can cut, and who to potentially pick up. So we'll be right back after this. All right, Gary, taking a look at the defensive line, we already talked about how Daniil Hunter was awesome. He had over 20 points. So did Alex Highsmith. Joey Bosa, playing on a pitch count here, got to the quarterback twice and still put up over 13 points on 29% of the snaps, just to show you what Joey Bosa can do. Christian Wilkins with a sack and 7 tackles. Jerron Payne got to the quarterback and had 5 solo stops as well. Kwity Paye got to the QB and had 5 tackles and a fumble recovery. Max Crosby, Chase Young back in action at 73% snap rate for him. And he was over 9 points, got a sack and a half. So did Montez Sweat with a sack and a half. DeForest Buckner got in there again. Chris Jones in his return had a sack and a half. Jeffrey Simmons was good, got to the QB once. So did Danico Autry and 6 tackles for Quinnen Williams. So the big, you know, last week on the defensive line, I think we had 5 guys that scored over like 8 points. Now that we're over 50% rostered, now your big boys are paying off for you in week 2. And it was fun to see.
Yeah, good to see Chase Young back on the field. Montez Sweat off to the ripper start. I think that's a sack and a half in each of his first 2 games. Of course, it helps when you're playing on defensive line that's got Chase Young, Jonathan Allen, and Daron Payne.
Right, right. At full strength, too, right. This week. You know, they weren't last week. Montez Sweat's just good. I love watching him play.
Underrated guy.
Definitely, he's always in there. The guys that didn't perform well, though, there were a lot on this list, too, that are rostered over 50% and just didn't perform. 3 points or less for all of these guys. Jonathan Allen, Jalen Carter, Nick Bosa, Trey Hendrickson, Trayvon Walker, Miles Garrett, Josh Allen, obviously with the injury for him, Brian Burns, Javon Hargrave, Aaron Donald, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Leonard Williams. I mean, the Giants defensive line, I feel like, was the most disappointing. Obviously, weren't on the field too much, specifically in the second half. The Cardinals got the early lead, then they were trying to sit on it, so they didn't really give this defensive line opportunities to work very well, but 2 games in a row, this D-line has been bad. Are you worried about the Giants defense just as a whole here?
Of the names you mentioned, Thibodeau is probably the one I'm most concerned about. I'm not, you know, cut him concerned or anything like that. But like you said, that Giants defense just...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In this league,
to say it has underperformed both from an NFL perspective and statistically is being nice. Nick Bosa, the thing you got to write, I mean, again, he signed that contract, what, like 2 days before the season started? So, you know, missed all the camp, missed all the preseason. So he's ramping back. I'm 2-3 weeks from now, we're not going to be, Nick Bosa is going to be on the other list, and we're going to be laughing about those days where there was concern about Nick Bosa. Yeah, Joey Bosa blowing up on my bench was fun this week. I started him in one league because I didn't have any choice. Then I sat him in a second league for Shaq Barrett, who wound up, you know, with a sack and the weird pick 6. So that was fine. But I had Cameron Jordan in my starting lineup. He did very little. I still wound up winning my matchup. But man, If I had those Bosa points in there, I wouldn't have to worry about a potential stat correction later this week. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have to worry about stat correction. I just straight up lost. So in death match, I scored 387 points, but played the Tink Knockers here, scored 421. So not fantastic for me here. The guys that did perform well that maybe are available on your wire probably should be for most of these guys. I mean, I think Karloftis is up over 48%. Derek Brown's over 45%. And Bradley Chubb is at 43%. We got John Cooper got in there for 2 sacks and 8 tackles, 13 tackles for Harrison Phillips and half a sack. Joe Tryon finally has been playing great. Still only 53% snap rate, but he got 2 sacks. Tuli Tupulotu from the Chargers filling in for Joey Bosa and kind of keeping him on that pitch count was excellent. He got to the quarterback once and had 7 tackles. Larry Ogunjobi had a sack. So did Davion Clowney. We mentioned Karloftis here had a sack and a half. Vita Vea got to the quarterback a time and a half. Carl Granderson, Derek Brown, 2 weeks in a row. And Derek Barnes, who also qualifies at linebacker, had a good day with 7 stops. So who out of this group are you going after? And is there anyone not on this list that you're going after this week?
You know, like you said, Karloftis and Chubb are guys that are already kind of rostered. Granderson is a guy that definitely should be on more teams than what he is. I'm getting asked a lot in DT required leagues about Harrison Phillips because of the ridiculous tackle numbers.
I mean, they were on the field for like 42 minutes.
But this is the second straight week that, I mean, he's tackled and he's been off the chain. Do I think he can maintain that pace? No. Do I think that he should be rostered in DT required format? Sure. I mean, just like Derek Brown, you know, they did it 2 weeks in a row. Once is a fluke, twice is a coincidence, 3 times is a trend. So we're in coincidence territory. And if you need defensive tackle help, yeah, go get those guys. It's good to see Karloftis. His tackle numbers have been up too this year relative to last year. Because I mean, he had at least half a sack in like 6 of his last 7 games last year. But it was always, really, you know, well. Right. But it was always 2 tackles.
He was so much more rotational then. And I'm a little, you know, when Emenihu comes back, what's going on? You know, are we seeing more Charles Emenihu, or are we seeing, you know, is Karloftis like establishing himself? I'm a little curious.
I would hope Karloftis is establishing himself. I mean, that this week was the first game of his career where he had more than 1 sack. He had 1.5 sacks. So, you know, he's just playing really well. And I hope that Chubb is able to build off this and, you know, maybe getting back into Vic Fangio's defense is what it will take to kind of unlock him and get him back to that player that we saw put up 60 tackles and 12 sacks as a rookie playing for Vic Fangio in Denver.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody, any other defensive linemen that you want to hit on here?
Oh, none that leaped to mind. It's a nice meaty waiver wire this week if you need help. So at least there's guys out there. But it's still early in the season. Wait until it's like week 9, week 10. And we're like, guys that are rostered under 50% that you might want. No way.
Tumbleweeds. Right. Yeah. Just not much there.
You have to talk yourself into guys like a many of you.
I mean, he was good last week, and they should be getting a lot of 3rd and longs. Yeah, you're really, really talking yourself through it. The linebackers, a lot of big-time performers here. Guys stepping up, obviously. Fred Warner was a 20-point guy this week. Quay Walker had 17 stops. Guy has been everywhere. Hasn't shoved any officials yet this season, so he's been great. Micah Parsons with 2 sacks, a forced fumble. Micah Parsons, amazing. Tremaine Edmonds with 16 stops. Frankie Louvu with 9 and 2 sacks. Divine Diablo, Diablo was a 94% snap guy this week.
Oh, that was up over a week.
And a sack. Yeah, I think he was 73% last week or something. I'll look it up in a little bit here. Zaire Franklin, 13 tackles. Devondre Campbell, 14. Greenlaw with 12. Hicks with 11. Foyer with 10. Devin Lloyd, Josie Jewell, Alex Anzalone, and Kaiser White all on this list. I believe that Devondre Campbell and Josie Jewell were the only guys that had a less than 90% snap share, and Jewell was 89 and Devondre was 83. So the guys on the field really putting up numbers for us here.
Yeah, that's why you want those every down guys. Tremaine Edmonds has been great these first couple weeks. Maybe just playing on a crap defense for a team that can't stay on the field is what we needed to finally kind of unlock his statistical production. I mean, he's on right now, the pace he's on, he would shatter, because his career high in tackles is only, I think, 121, and that was his rookie year.
Yeah. Jermaine Edmonds has been one of those guys where, and this is why I keep thinking Philly, like, just move Terrell Edmonds to linebacker. His brother is a linebacker. Beef him up a little bit. He can't cover, but he's got great instincts against the run, and he can blitz Terrell Edmonds. So, like,
I don't really need to put that much weight on him. I mean, it's not like
he's a big dude already. Yeah, you're right.
It's not like there's not 225-pound linebackers playing in the NFL. There are.
Divine Diablo. Speaking of which, Diablo 94% both weeks. I didn't realize that. I thought he was a 70%er guy, like 73 or 74 last week, but he was 94, so he's on there. He only has 9 fewer snaps than Spillane. So. In that range.
You and me both. I must have had it mixed up with somebody else.
There was only 4 guys rostered over 50% that just did not perform up to snuff. Isaiah Simmons, I don't understand. 58% rostered. He got 20% of the snaps, guys. Like, I don't understand why he's still on rosters, but we keep... how many more weeks do we have to do this? This has got to be it. Yeah, I'm just going to start leaving him off the list. But Devin White and Levante David both didn't do much at all. You know, obviously, Tampa Bay had the ball a lot against Chicago. Hassan Reddick also with a donut on Thursday Night Football. Played 67% of the snaps, but didn't get to the QB. So you're not worried about White, David, or Reddick, right?
You know, I'm getting a lot of the how worried should I be about Hassan Reddick tweets and emails and whatnot. I mean, you hate to see a guy get off to 2 weeks where I think he has like 1 tackle total over the first 2 games of the season. But no, I'm still not. We haven't reached a point yet where you can panic. Edge rushers just sometimes start slow and you just kind of have to ride it out as best you can. And, you know, he goes out there and has 2.5 sacks this week against Tampa. And everyone will be like, oh, see, it was so silly. So now if he goes out and puts up a 3rd straight really bad dud week, then I guess you can start to be concerned. But I mean, who are you going to drop Hassan Reddick for and not wind up regretting it in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And the thing with Reddick, though, is, you know, and I know like on Fantrax, he only qualifies at linebacker. Most other leagues, he qualifies as a defensive end, and you know you're using him there because those guys are boom or bust anyway. Reddick is just one of those guys that's like kind of like if you're doing 3 linebackers, it's almost like 3 wide receivers. Like, I want a really good guy, a solid floor guy, and then a guy that is hit or miss, and that's Reddick. And sometimes he's going to get you a donut, you know, because he's not going to rack up tackles. So it's just the risk that's involved when you play a guy like that at that spot. So, in my opinion, anyway, speaking of who you can pick up and maybe not regret it, there's a lot of linebackers on this list, Gary. Spillane is still 28% roster on Fantrax.
Oh, what the hell?
Number one. Absolutely number one. Kenneth Murray, only 29%. And I know Kendricks didn't play, but Murray was good in game one as well. David Long is 42% rostered. So is Caden Ellis. 43% rostered. EJ Speed is down there. Quan Alexander, only 25% rostered. Grugier Hill, as you said, taking over for Shaq Thompson, 6 tackles and a sack. Shaq Barrett, who only qualifies at linebacker in a lot of leagues, 2 sacks. He is 38% rostered. Terrell Bernard, 28% rostered, 85% snap guy. Ivan Pace, Randy Gregory, Van Ginkle, who you mentioned before, Chris Barnes, and Nick Neiman, who filled in for Eric Kendricks, all on this list of scoring over 10 points this week. We have 100% snap shares from Spillane, Murray, and Ellis, and that's going to continue. Over 80% for Long, Bernard, Van Ginkle, and Chris Barnes. And then the other guys, EJ Speed was only 50, Quan Alexander was only 60, Shaq Barrett's a 53% guy. He's a passing downs guy. And Randy Gregory is a 64% guy, more of an end anyway. So of the list of linebackers, obviously Spillane is number one with a bullet. Who are we going after after Robert Spillane?
Oh, you know, you get Caden Ellis is a guy who should absolutely be rostered. David Long, I don't know what Miami is going to do once they get Jalen Phillips back? Is Van Ginkle going to go back? Because it was David Long was playing in the base defense, and Van Ginkle was playing the nickel, and Van Ginkle like doubled up Long in snaps and then some. So Long could turn back into a pumpkin. So I don't know that I'd go chasing after him. Murray's snap share is going to come down once Kendricks returns, but I think he was at 80-something percent in week one. So he appears to be fairly safe as the Chargers' number two linebacker. So that's a guy that should be rostered at least till he falls out of favor with the coaching staff again. Chris Barnes, I don't know what to make of that, to be honest. He didn't play a lot in week one. Might have something to do with the Budd Baker injury. You know, it would appear that the Cardinals played a lot more two linebacker, less three safety in week two than they did in week one. So that's kind of more a guy that I'd be a more wait and see what happens in week three. You know, if we get another week with an 80% snap count, then in deeper leagues, he'd be it. And in deeper leagues, you may have to just go get him anyway because you can't wait because any linebacker that has half a pulse gets scooped up.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Let's go over to, or any other linebackers that aren't on the list that need to be picked up here?
No, you mentioned Pace is definitely, he's a guy who should be rostered too. I think his snap count was up to 89%. You know, from undrafted rookie free agent to three down starter in the NFL.
What happened to Asamoah, however you say his name?
He got hurt in camp.
Is he getting Wally pipped here?
Yeah, I think more or less. He got hurt in camp, and Pace just impressed to the point where now I think Asamoah, I don't know how you say it either, is healthy, and they're just like, hey, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Although I don't know if I would necessarily say that about the Vikings defense not being broken.
Yeah, it's not good.
But I don't think I don't think Pace is in any danger of losing his job right now. So he's a guy who should be picked up. I think he's had eight tackles in both games this year. So I mean, he's not blowing it up. But if you're getting you get eight tackles out of that third linebacker spot or your flex spot.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you major, go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah,
it wasn't. But, yeah,
oh,
it's one of those things, man.
Colorado comes back to earth this Saturday.
They're going to get murdered. They're 21.5-point dogs against Oregon. So they're going to get smashed.
Oregon's just going to.
And they don't have their best player. Travis Hunter's out. So, yeah, it's going to be a bad game.
They're going to get pushed around so bad.
I think so. Yeah, their defense just isn't there. I think they can hang on offense. If Shedeur Sanders is in rhythm, I think they can hang. But defense, they can't do it. They can't stop anybody.
Well, at least the week after that, all you got to do is play USC. So,
Yep. The guillotine's coming down. So, you're going to get a nice heaping dose of reality pretty soon here.
Well, I will be waiting for Saturday night because there's rather a important game on the television. So.
Who y'all playing again this week? It's what is that team called from that area?
Notre Dame or whatever.
Yeah, they got a bunch of hunchbacks, don't they? Ain't that their logo, that little hunchback boy? So, that's gonna be a great game. There's some good games on this week too. Ole Miss, Bama. There's some good college football.
Sam Hartman making his 102nd collegiate start.
Yeah, he's been around for a little bit. A lot of people go to college for 7 years, so they're called doctors. All right, that is going to do it for us. Gary, I won't make you give all the stuff you're doing. Follow him on the Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it now, at IDP Shark.
It's Twitter.
It's what do you say when you tweet now? I posted on X.
I X'd
it. Like I don't like it. It's Twitter. So, I even thought Twitter was ridiculous, and I still think it's ridiculous, but it's just the first thing we said. So, it's hard to get rid of. But follow Gary on Twitter X at IDP Sharks. I am at Bogman Sports. Good luck. Go get all those guys we talked about on waivers. Go dump all the guys we told you to dump, and we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.
All right. love you, Nicole.